that was God's word to us. So let me ask you all a question. Who likes food? Anybody like food? Who still eats at the dinner table in their homes? Anybody still do that? How many of you been to a big celebration, maybe at Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or whatever, and there's been a lot of family and a lot of tables? Who's been stuck at the kids' table before? I have, and I'm in my 40s. In fact, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I prefer being at the kids' table. But today we are going to talk about having a seat at the table, which is what the title of this message is. And so we are going to take a look at here, Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." The word of God. So, there are two main things from this passage that I want to talk to you about here this morning. The first one, Jesus calls Matthew. You know, we don't know a lot about Matthew outside of this passage here that was just read. And when he was listed as a disciple in the Gospels of Mark and Luke. But there are a few things we know about Matthew. Most famous, probably, he was a tax collector. And I have a picture up here of sort of like what the booth would have looked like that Jesus passed by, that Matthew would have been in. And Matthew, the tax collector, would be probably the last person in Galilee that you would think that Jesus would call to be his disciple. Because tax collectors were not liked. The Jews did not like Matthew because he collected taxes for the Romans. They were not popular people. And then a side note here is interesting. Back in those days, the rabbis, which means teacher, Jesus was a rabbi, the rabbis would not call their disciples. The people would choose who to follow, which rabbi to follow. Jesus called and chose his disciples himself, which is what's going on here, just like he chooses you and I. And so he called Matthew to be one of his disciples. So I mentioned Mark and Luke. Mark and Luke list him in the list of disciples in their gospels, but they call him by his given name, which was Levi. That was his Hebrew name. And in those two, they name him as Levi, but Matthew calls himself Matthew. He doesn't call himself Levi, which is interesting because this is the name now, Matthew, which means gift from God. That's the name he wants to be known by, because from this point on, his life is being transformed. And so he wants to be known as Matthew. So that's the first thing. The second thing here is Jesus eats at Matthew's house. You know, this can be one of those things in the Bible that we just kind of breeze by. But some context will help us understand that this was a really big deal here. So in the culture of that time when Jesus roamed the earth, I got this from a commentary, so I'm quoting here. This is how big of a deal meals were. Meals functioned as important ceremonies that reinforced the stability of society and the interrelationships that existed between the members of a given group. Even everyday mealtimes were highly complex events in which social values, boundaries, statuses, and hierarchies were reinforced. How many of your meals at your house are highly complex events? Maybe if we have a bunch of kids. But that's the way it was then. Another way to put it is entering someone's home was a public act of affirmation, and eating at their table was a covenantal act of friendship. Table fellowship was a big deal in those times. Having a seat at the table was a big deal at their meals. But this wasn't just a typical meal. Jesus wasn't just present there. There was something different about how Jesus would eat with these people at these meals. To eat at the table with Jesus was an invitation to receive through Jesus forgiveness, acceptance, and restoration. And no matter what table Jesus was at, didn't matter whose home, whether it was Matthew's home, there's other recordings of Jesus having meals with people. No matter what table Jesus was at, Jesus was the host of the table. That's just how Jesus rolls. It's his table. And so eating at the table with Jesus, transformation and conversion would happen. To be clear, everyone that ate with Jesus at these tables, that received his call and did not respond, not everybody that was at these tables continued on following. It says in Matthew chapter 22 that many were called, few are chosen. So to be offered a place at the table did not mean you were already his disciple, a found sheep. The offer was to come and be found, to come and be fed spiritually by the great physician, the host of the table. Because unfortunately, there's people who think they're already well and have no need of a physician. And at this particular table in Matthew's house, he was eating with tax collectors and sinners. Oh, no! So let's take a look at that term, tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees had a big problem with Jesus doing this, eating at the table with tax collectors and sinners. He was hanging out with those people. You know, it's easy for you and I to spot when we read scripture or we hear it read where the Pharisees are acting bad and acting judgmental, acting like hypocrites in these biblical events. It's easy to spot when the Pharisees are being bad, isn't it? But let me ask you a question for you to ponder this morning. Are you a Pharisee? That one may be easier to answer, but let me rephrase the question. Have you ever acted like a Pharisee? At this table were tax collectors and sinners. Isn't that also interesting that tax collectors get singled out from the other sinners? If you and I were at that table that day, you and I, would fit right in with those sinners. We are in the same boat, or should I say the same table, as every other sinner, no matter how big our sins are, no matter how many sins that we have committed. Now, obviously, there are bigger sins than others, right? There's a difference between murdering somebody and speeding. But those sins put us all in the same boat. We humans, and if you think I'm not making this, or if I'm just making this up, we can just look at the Ten Commandments and see how each one of us is guilty of having other gods before him, taking his name in vain, not remembering his Sabbath day and keeping it holy, not honoring our father, our mothers, murdering. And this isn't just physical murder. This is murdering people with our thoughts, with our words. Adultery, which includes all sexual sins, homosexuality, heterosexuals having sex before marriage, any sexual sin. The seventh commandment, stealing. Not stealing, this is more than just going in and shoplifting. There's lots of things we can steal, people's reputations, we can cheat on tests. Bearing false witness, we like the lie sometimes, right? And then the ninth and tenth commandments talk about coveting other people's stuff. We are all in the same boat at the same table as those tax collectors and sinners, those people. We are all in need of the great physician's healing. You know, this whole fact that we're all in the same boat, sometimes that can be kind of hard to swallow, right? So let me ask you this. What if Adolf Hitler or Osama bin Laden or that serial killer or that homeless person, or that person that doesn't quite look or sound like you or I, was at the table with us? Now what? Could you maybe get on board now with what the Pharisees said? Everyone, every single one of us, no matter what our sins are, no matter how many sins we've committed, are in this together, and we are in need of the great physician Jesus, the host of the table, who feeds us spiritually and saves us. I just want to read those verses again in 12 and 13. When Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Go and learn what this means. In this next phrase here, Jesus is quoting the Old Testament prophet Hosea, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." And this is the unfortunate issue here, brothers and sisters, is not everyone thinks they need the physician Jesus in our world today. But everybody's welcome. And that's why you and I, with what I preached about last week, the Great Commission, we continue to go and tell people about Jesus. We plant seeds because God wants nobody to go to hell. There's people in our world that are hurting and suffering spiritually, and they need to know about Jesus. And they need to hear that gospel and how sweet it is. in what we get. I want to close with you from Isaiah 25. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And within the first words, you'll know why. Here's what it says in Isaiah 25, 6 through 8. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. This mountain that Isaiah is prophesying about here is heaven. And there's going to, I have it underlined, I think, on, yes, I have it underlined, best of meats and the finest wines. Who likes meat and wine? And I guarantee you this will be the best meat and the best wine ever. That's what's going to be at this table when we go to heaven. Verse 7, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He's talking about sin. We continue to live under this, in this world, in sin. We continue to sin. Even though Jesus has already died for those sins, for us, so that we can enjoy this mountaintop table event. Verse 8, he will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. You see, on this mountain, at this table feast, where Jesus himself will be the host, there will be no more death. There will be no more crying. There will be no more sin. It'll be nothing but sunshine and lollipops and meat and wine. Verse 9, it will be said on that day, behold, this is our God, we have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray.